Joel's here. Hello, Joel. How are you, Joel? I'm so glad. How is everyone? Are you all well? I'm glad. This is good news. So originally this was going to be not what it is right now. I wasn't going to be talking. It was going to be in a video, and now I'm talking. So I'm very keen. I've got some story to tell, some things to show. I'm very keen. Actually, Ruth, could you pray for us, if that's all right? Very keen.
Lord, thank you so much that you're here. Thank you that you have a gift for each of us. The gift of your word to chew on and meditate and transform us and change us, renew us, revive us. Thank you that your word says that your word revives us. So we just come expectant tonight for your revival and your transformation and your love and your grace and your wonder and delight. We just thank you so much for Mings, that you've anointed her, that you put your heart and your words in her. We just thank you that she will just pour out from the deep well that you've dug in her. So we just bless her. Holy Spirit, thank you that you lead her. And we're just so thankful that we get to share in the gift of one of your most beloved. So thank you for sharing Mings with us tonight. And keep our hearts so open to you and listening to what you have for us, Lord. So let us look for all your treasures and listen for your treasures. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. I have a little fun fact about me to kick us off. If you don't know me, I love sport. Okay, I'm all about it. I play tennis. I used to play basketball. I used to do swimming from when I was little. I loved to get involved in any sport I could get my hands on. I was keen. I was an eager bean. When I moved to an all-girls school in high school in year 7, sport and PE, it was just a bludge for everyone. Girls did not care about it except for a handful of us. And I was deemed a winner a lot of the time. And not to brag, I was pretty great. I was great. You know, there wasn't a high bar though, so. But I absolutely hate losing. Anyone else? Competitive? Yeah. Hate losing, absolutely. I hate losing sports, I hate losing arguments, games, anything. There's been heaps of competitions or challenges that I've gone into with chains on. Now, that sounds really weird. Let me paint that out for you. I've gone into those challenges with fear of losing. I've gone into those challenges thinking the worst of my game, I can't win this, not at all. I go into those games with zero confidence. I go into those games already defeated with the, they're going to win mentality. I go into the game visualizing myself losing. It's pretty rough. I want you to imagine a sport, your sport, for a second. If you don't sport, imagine a competition or something that challenges you. Could be debates or marks in school or work or cooking or a thumb war. You get the idea, right? Picture a challenge and think about how you feel going into that competition. Are you confident? Are you nervous? Are you partaking in that competition with enough freedom to lose and be okay with it? I'm not. are you like myself and you go into that competition with only eagerness and scope to win? And any other outcome is a loss. Does that sound correct for some of you? Yep. There's no wrong answer. We'll come back to that in a bit. If you want to, write down your answers. This is you can feel free to do your own thing if you... I'm feeling a lot of eyes, so no one's writing anything down. cool. A little bit of common ground. We've all been through trials, yes? Hands up if you've been through a trial. Wow. Well done. You've made it. That's a given. We all want to win. Is that true? We all want to win something, even if it's small. Here's something that happened in the Bible where the apostles went through trials. It's in Acts 5. If you have a Bible, you can flip there. And the title is The Apostles Meet Oppression. Trials. Wow. It's all coming together. Previously in Bible news, the apostles have been healing many, bringing crowds of people to know Jesus and the good news that they too can be saved. The high priest and the Sadducees, they were jealous. And I don't actually know why, but it just says they were jealous. And I was like, damn. That sucks. So they put the apostles in jail. This is the apostles. They look really terrified. Yep. Anyways, just to put the image in your head. Jail was their trial. Jail was their competition. Jail was their challenge. If I was put in jail for spreading Jesus and healing, I would be thinking and feeling the same stuff as I mentioned before. Stuff like, I'm not going to win this. I'm not good enough. I would lose all confidence, full of fear, all that kind of stuff. Imagine yourself in that same position. It looks a little bit stingy, but imagine yourself in that same position. Well, like, think about what your mind would start thinking. You don't need to tell me. That's okay. Something that we're so privileged with is that we have both a sovereign and a suffering God. I'll say it again. We have a sovereign and a suffering God. And it's up there if you forgot what I said. This is shown through Jesus on heaps of occasions. But I've got two for you. I think there's a slide for this one. No, maybe not. Yes. It says in Mark chapter 14, verse 33 and 34, he was deeply troubled and distressed. My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. That's Jesus. That's really human feelings, right? And that's a trial right there. In Luke 22, verse 42, he's about to go and die on the cross. Pretty hectic. And he's saying, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And also, Jesus dying on the cross in itself is a massive proof that he has suffered. This is the suffering God through Jesus, who is God in human form. And it says that in John 1, 4, yes. Splendid job, Josh. He's keeping up. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So that's God in human form, Jesus on earth. It's pretty cool stuff. Is this making sense so far? I've actually printed two of what I'm trying to read right now, so it's kind of tripping me out. That's hectic. Should I do a Brett? There we go. I'm learning fast. let me share with you something that I've learned, that I've been taught about myself over the couple of years. It's an epiphany I wish I had ages ago. I am terrible at bowling. That's me, at bowling. Really, really sad time. This started a few years back on a harmless day out with my mates. We were playing and I just absolutely kept embarrassing myself, just in the gutter, no pins, just shocking game. And as we finished, they jeered at me. They said, we finally found something you're not good at. And that was defeat. My competitiveness was fuming. I was like that guy. I actually made that face that day. I was really upset with myself. My loss that day put me to misery. Since then, I've gone into every single game of bowling from there on out with the mindset, I'm not going to win. I can't win. I'm not ever going to win. It's bowling. I suck at bowling. Have you ever felt like that in anything? Have you felt like that? I just can't. It's defeat already, before I've already gone into it. Imagine my reaction If someone came up to me and said, like, before I went into a game of bowling, I already know the outcome. You're already going to win. Don't even... I'd be like, bruh, no. Like, yeah, I would scoff. Picture a soccer game. Does anyone play soccer? Are we enjoying the memes? Anyone? Yes, soccer players in the room? Lovely, perfect. Imagine you're in this competition and you're versing the hardest team that there is. The top team, they're like unbeatable, gone through, no losses, 16-0 every game. Crazy. Go back and think about, at the beginning I asked you, how would you go into that competition? Would you go in the same confident, woohoo, we're going to win? Probably not, right? I have a quick video for you to visualize it. We're going to see if this works. Okay, can you picture it, right? They're quaking in their boots. What the heck are these machines? Are they going to win? Probably not, right? Imagine someone had just told these guys in the red, the Pink Panther, that they've already won the game. Imagine that. Like, would anyone believe that? No. Right? But imagine, though, the news was true, right? They're going to win. Think of how much joy, like someone had told them, you're going to win 16-0. Think of how much joy they would play with. And imagine their confidence. Imagine their freedom once they've heard this news. They'd play that game full of joy, just waiting to get to the end and celebrate even more, right? That would be so good. What ends up happening in this game, the other three kids, one of them ends up on a different island somewhere. One of them ends up playing video games and getting distracted. One of them ends up eating ice cream. And they all end up not on the field. And things get tricky. It's all up to the Pink Panther. Let's see what happens in the next bit. Thank you. So, it's so stupid. Anyways, in this game, even though there was like injuries or distraction or it got really hard or they kept stuffing up, imagine they knew the outcome was a win. Right? It would be so much more joyful. This is the same with us. Okay? Picture it life-wise. Even though there's some sucky parts, some challenges, some discomfort, some difficult emotions, some tricky relationships, the end outcome has already been decided. God has already said this over your life. And it's seen in these couple of verses. Crazy. It says this, but thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory. We have the victory through Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool, right? It says it here as well in John 16:33. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. That's God talking to you. Jesus promises something actually really interesting there. If we look closer, it says you will have many trials, right? You will have trials and sorrows. He doesn't promise that life is going to be easy breezy. He says, and his word is true at all times, that we will have trials and sorrow. But take heart because why? Because God has overcome the world. Yes! Come on. He is victorious. He's already won. And the end outcome has already been decided. Our lives have been promised to have hard stuff in it. And the challenges that we look at saying, I can't win that, I can't overcome that, I can't do it, I'm never going to win. The outcome's been decided. This is our sovereign God. So we have a suffering God, but this is our sovereign God. He has already won. We'll have a look at the apostles. They're back in jail. They're in jail. Okay, it's a sad time. This is a big obstacle, a big challenge, possibly even more challenging than a soccer game, I've heard. This wise man in the Bible named Gamaliel. See, I've been saying that wrong this whole preparations. He was highly respected by the high priest that we were talking about before, the jealous ones. And he gave these following remarks to regarding the apostles in jail. Says this, so my advice is, that's him there, handsome looking bloke. My advice is, leave these men alone, let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. They would find themselves fighting against the one we were talking about before, who's already got the victory. That's a little bit silly. The apostles, they were released. But before they left, they were beaten and they were told they were never to speak in the name of Jesus ever again. So what did they do? They walked their sorry souls out and their chins glued to their chest, kicking rocks. And no, they did not do that. Check it out. They left the council rejoicing that God had deemed them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. I'll read it again. They left the council rejoicing that God had deemed them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. They became grateful for the suffering. That is an odd response to suffering, I find. Joy was their point of view. How do we make joy our point of view? Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Jesus did not find joy in the event of dying on the cross, but in the outcome. The joy was awaiting him. He needed to endure the cross first. The pain he had, it had purpose. There was no pain without purpose. Whatever you're going through, whatever pain you're feeling, it has purpose. We can often ask God, if you love me so much, like why all these trials and challenges and whatnot? Jesus actually delights in transforming the ones he loves. And we are the ones God loves. How special is that? Until you realize the purpose of that your pain has, this, like Romans 8:28, that will not bring you any comfort or joy. Joy is a focus, not a feeling. Our world tends to get caught up in this global mission of the pursuit of happiness. If you're seeking joy, like we all are, seek first the kingdom, and all else will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom and all else will be added to you. Joy will be added to you if you seek it. Some of you may be thinking, what do I do about the challenges that I have right now? Wonder no more. Good point. Something that I want to point out to you is that we cannot evade suffering, but we can evade joy. Meaning what happens to you does not define what happens in you. Joy is not just something that happens to you. It's a fruit of the Spirit and it needs to grow. How on earth are we supposed to grow like a fruit? Let's find out together. This is some practical, actual things. It's bolded if you can't catch the drift. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. What does it say? What does it say? Thank you. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, Dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. That was written by Paul. How do we... Thank you, Josh. We're getting there. There's a lot of things in that we can practically do, and it says it, and it's some of them are pretty vague. Here's some specific... Get into it. This is what you can actually literally do. You have the ability to do all of these, or one of these, or none of these, but none of these is not so very joyful. So have a squiz. You can spend time with God. That's very vague. Include God in everything. We're going to come back to it. That's why I skipped over it. Write it down as a letter to God. Say it out loud to Him. Talk to God. Think about what is good often. That's pretty cool. Dance and sing and worship Him. You can go into a secret place with Him and just be in His presence. You can look around for Him in His creation. You can rejoice. You can practice gratitude and celebration and praise. Express your joy. You have been given joy as a gift. How graceful is God? Like, that's really special. We have been given joy, joy which is earnest and sincere. The more you practice it, the more it becomes joy. Spend time with God. How do you people like to spend time with God? Yell it out. Or don't. The Bible, yes. Music in the ocean, yes. What else? Worship, yes, so good. Music, yes. How good. Food. Oh my goodness, thank you for saying that. Food. You can gather around a table and eat with people and bring God into it. That's like, oh, how much joy is in food. What else? Bread. What was that? I did think you said bread, but yes, friends. what else? Family, yes, so good. All of these things, right? Even the smallest things. I love to look at a plane. How whack is that? I look at a plane and I'm like, God, you are here. That is His way of talking to me. That's so... I sound really weird right now. But I look up, I'm like, whoa, that's so special. God's talking to me right now. In the most random things. God's kingdom is for everybody. None of this is to say, just be joyful and the outcome is heaven. That's not at all what I'm saying in this. Rather, this is a chance for you to share the good news so another person can know Jesus. From what I've said today, take this, and we have instructions from the Bible telling us, go make followers in all the world, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've told you to do. You can be sure that I'll always be with you and I'll continue with you to the end of time. Like that, we've been given instructions from Jesus Himself to go and, like, from what I've said, go and tell more people. We don't just sit here and take it in on a Sunday and go, woohoo. We go and project, so we go out. If you could take away one thing from all of this, it would be this. You can look at it too. Woohoo! God has already seen the outcome. He's given us the opportunity to play the game. Through trials, we can have joy because God has the victory. And we have a victory through God. I'll leave you with a few questions to ponder by yourself or with people. But we're going to have a time, a really special time, where we get to eat dinner together and we get to chat. And I'd love you to think about these questions. So these ones are things to think about just to yourself. What are my trials at the moment? Am I trying to evade trials or joy? And who is God to me right now? A simple way to find that out is to ask God, who are you to me right now? And he can show you that, and he can tell you. Other questions to think of or chat with other people about. What is a way that you can express your joy this week? Who is someone you'd like to share the good news with? Simple questions can lead to so much conversation. Even just like taking these questions into your world, asking people, your friends that aren't here today, take it out, whatever. Just get this Bible, gospel, good news, get the joy out there is the goal. Can I pray for you all? Is that all good? Sicko mode. Thank you, God, so much that you're here. And thank you for your joy. And thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care for us and that you want to give us so much joy. We receive it today. We surrender all our trials to you, God. Anything that's holding us back from feeling joy, we surrender it to you, God, and we trust you with it. And we're so excited for what you want to do with it. God, we love you so much. I love you so much, God. And I'm so excited for the conversation and the dinner. And I thank you for the hands that made this meal. And I pray that you bless it to our bodies. And I thank you for all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.